Before we get right into the sermon this morning, I do want to echo Brother Dan's sentiments in that it's kind of a flashback, but for me, it's Friday mornings because I get the privilege of going to East Middle School and doing the FCA meeting, as I guess you would call it. And I have 10 minutes to speak to a room for whoever will come, any open, the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And for me, that's a challenge. And all of you guys, when I said 10 minutes, and there's about 8 or 9 people that just kind of smile and say, yeah, right. But no, for real, because the bell rings and they leave and that's it. I'm sitting there preaching to the chairs. But I love it. It's great. And I recognize these guys from FCA. And it's a great opportunity that we have in this community where we can go and share our faith, at schools. And we have fine Christian men and women teaching our young people and living that life before them. And that kind of goes right along with, as we continue with our study, as we continue with this group of lessons, this I, God sermon series. This morning, I want to continue with this because it's something that as we realize the effect that God has on our life and the fact that He permeates everything about us, that He goes wherever we go, that He affects whatever we will allow Him to affect, and the fact that God is relevant to every bit of our life. And this morning, as we continue through this, as we look at James chapter 4 and verse 8, where it says that come near to God and He will come near to you. The principal text of this is that if we want more of a relationship with God, if we want any of a relationship with God, if we will just come to Him, if we will just avail ourselves to Him, if we will just recognize that He is our God and we are His people, if we come near to Him, He will in fact come near to us. And this morning, if you were reading, if you were following along with our scripture reading this morning in Psalm 139, it says, where can I go? The whole verse, where can I go? In verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I go to school, you are there. If I go to work, you are there. If I go to the country, you are there. If I'm in the city, you are there. Lord, in my bed at night, when I wake up in the morning, wherever I am, Lord, there you are with me. And the challenge to us as Christians, as non-Christians, is that we have to recognize the portability of God this morning. We have to recognize the fact that wherever we are, there is no place where God isn't. Now, that can be a comforting thought, and that can be a scary thought. The fact that God is portable, that God goes wherever we are. We think, oh man, then He saw what I did. That's absolutely right. Oh man, He knows it. Yes, He does. How comforting is it to know that wherever we are in our life, we serve the go-anywhere God. We serve a God who does not leave us where we are. He doesn't leave us where we've been. Our God is right there with us. The book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, we hear that God does not live in temples. God is not bound by a building. The fact of the matter is that we come here this morning, as I have always said, and I will continue to say, Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning, when we come here together to celebrate our Christianity, to celebrate our relationship with God. We come here on Sunday mornings to recognize what we have in Christ and what we have with one another. But it doesn't stop here. We take God outside this building. God is not bound by a time schedule, by 9 to 11:15-ish on Sunday morning. He's not bound to 720 Kings Lane. Our God goes with us. In John 4 and 19, we learn that God is not bound by geographic location. Remember the story of the woman at the well? Remember this woman who Jesus approaches? And she asks a very, you know, as he's delving into her personal life, and she asks a very important question. She said, you're obviously a prophet, but let me ask you this. You know, the Jews say that we worship God on this mountain over here, and the Samaritans, you know, and we say that we worship over here. And well, where is it? Where do we worship God? And Jesus said, woman, there will come a day when you do not, you know, worship God here or there, but, you know, God is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. He is not bound by a certain place. He isn't bound by the Middle East. God does not live in Israel. God lives in the hearts of those who truly seek him. And it isn't a piece of dirt that is special. It is our heart where he dwells. Our God goes everywhere. Wherever we are in life, we can enjoy the portability of our God. You see, there are three places this morning that I want to draw our attention to where we enjoy the fact that God goes everywhere with us. And, you know, it's not a scary thing. See, I think for so long in church, we dwell on all of the sin and all of the fact that God is everywhere is a scary thought. But it shouldn't be that way. It should be a comforting thought no matter what the circumstance. No matter where we are, no matter what station we are in our life. And so that's what we're going to dwell on this morning, is that we serve a God who is everywhere. We serve a God who goes with us. I wanted to have, you know, as I, you know, kind of follow the illustration of the iPod as we talk about iGod. Remember when stereos were a piece of furniture? I remember when I was a kid and we lived in this little bitty duplex, and the main piece of furniture we had other than a couch was a big stereo. It was big, and it had this lift up top, and there you could put records on there. And man, I remember we used to listen. My mom was a big Elvis fan, and she had every Elvis album. And I remember this: on the night that Elvis died, my mom was that woman at the mall crying, buying up every Elvis album they had. And we used to listen to Elvis and Otis Redding and all of that. Man, it just, that's all we had to listen to. And it was a radio in there, but it was a piece of furniture. And you couldn't take it many places unless you were moving. And then they came out with smaller stereos. And then after a while, they had, you know, the jam box. And you could see people, and you could put batteries in it, you know, walking down the street with the big jam box up here. And you could take your music wherever you wanted to take it. And then they came out with the Walkman. Remember that? It was, you know, it was kind of big. It was like the first cell phones. Remember those? They were ginormous, and they came in a purse. But then the Walkman came, and you could take your music even more places because it was a little bit more discreet. And now, and I don't have it with me, but my one visual aid, I don't know, I probably lost it. But now it's so little. It can go anywhere. And I think for so long, that's been our impression of God, is that, you know, he's this big, obscure, clunky piece of furniture that just stays in one place. And whenever I need a little music, whenever I'm in that place, whenever I am where he is, then I will enjoy or listen to or have something to do with. But whenever I go out of that one place where that big clunky piece of furniture is, then it stays there and I go and live the rest of my life. And it just isn't that way. See, God, iGod has been around a whole lot longer than iPod. Technology is just catching up with the reality of who our God is. But, you know, they're enjoying the portability of God shows up in where he tells us he will be. You see, the first place I want us to understand God is portable and God is there is exactly where he says he will be. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. You see, because when we are doing God's will, that is the one place where we know and we can enjoy the presence of God no matter what. In verse 20 of chapter 28, this ought to be a very familiar passage to us. Jesus says in verse 18, he came to them, and all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And that sounds great, because that's exactly what you would think God would tell us to do. But just let that be a representation in your mind of what God has asked us to do, being in his will. when we're doing what God has called us to do, when we're doing His will, when we're being the people and acting the way that He's called us to act, this is what He says, and I am with you always to the very ends of the age. I am with you always, all where. That right there is a snapshot of when we are doing what God has called us to do. Rest assured, He is there. He has not left us on our own. See, the fact is that due to our nature, due to our fallenness, God's will is difficult for us. Due to the fact that we're not holy, and that He is completely holy, that we are not perfect and He is perfect, that we have fallen short of His glory and He is glorious. His will is difficult. His will is hard for us sometimes. His will goes against our nature and the world. And a lot of times we've got to understand that when He has called us to do it, He has said, I will be there with you. Because we're so prone to wander, aren't we? We're prone to wander in and out of God's will based on how we feel, based on how much strength we have left, based on a lot of things. We're tempted to look the other way when God's will comes along, when we see something good that needs to be done, when we see a place, that needs to be gone to, when we see a person that needs to be talked to, when we have all of these scary and hard and difficult decisions to make and all of this, this stuff to do that's within the will of God. We know it, and it's just easier to look the other way. But God is saying, I am there. I'm right there with you. I am giving you strength if you will allow me. I will open your mouth. I will put words into it. I will send you into those places, and I will be right there with you. You see, in Exodus chapter 4, Moses gets a glimpse of this. See, remember all of that? And I don't want to go there and read the whole story, but remember when Moses is before God? And he gets all those signs. He says, you put your staff on the ground, it becomes a snake. You put your hand in your coat, and it comes out leprous. And you put it back in, it comes out clean. And then he says, if they don't listen to this, then pour water, inject water from the Nile, pour it on the ground, and it will become blood. But he said, if they don't listen to you, they'll surely listen to these signs. You know what that was all about? That was for Moses to know God was going with him into God's will. It was God's will for him to go and stand before Pharaoh and to lead God's people out of slavery. It was God's will for that to happen. It was going to be hard. It was something he didn't want to do, but it was God's will. And he wanted him to know, Moses, I'm not going to be up here on the mountain. I'm going to be right there with you because I am God and I am going with you. I'm portable. I'm not stuck here like a clunky old piece of furniture. And oh, what peace and strength, and all that we have when we know that God is there. God is with us to keep us going in His direction. When we're doing God's will, we don't need to think that we're out there on our own, doing it in our own strength. The second place that we need to enjoy the portability of God is where we think He isn't. We know that He's going to be where He says He's going to be. But we need to enjoy the fact that our God truly is where we think He isn't going to be. We might feel as though God has left us. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, we read about an episode in the life of God's people. Remember, you got to know just a snapshot of the context of the book of Daniel. Daniel is a Jew. Daniel is one of God's people, and he has been taken out of his element and taken to Babylon to serve, and Nebuchadnezzar has taken him prisoner. How many of us does that feel like we're just out of our, on a daily basis, we have to go out of this, out of the, amongst the chosen people, out of amongst the Christians that we know, others that believe just like us, and out of this place where we think God's going to be, where we know He is. He tells us to come here. He tells us to be with other people, and we know we're going to find Him here, but then we got to leave here, and maybe we don't feel like He is at work or at school and in all those places out in the world where it's just not so easy to see or to hear. See, when the world or the culture or our community says that God isn't here, when God is really hard to see, or when God is really hard to hear, We've got to know that God is there. We've got to know that God is there. Daniel understood that. Daniel understood he was taken away from his home. He was taken away from his people. He was put into a situation where the law said, do not be a follower of God. Do not pray. Do not do any of those things that you know that God wants you to do that draws you, you know, not because it's a law or a rule, but these are things that draw you closer to God. The prayer that Daniel is doing, it isn't a decree. It is something he's doing that draws him closer to God. And what happens when the world says, don't do that? What happens when you're in a place and it's ill-advised to practice the very thing that draws you close to God? What does Daniel do? In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, let me go back there. We have an example. Where's my notes there? Yeah, we have an example exactly. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees, prayed, give thanks to his God, just as he had done before. We all know the end of the story, don't we? Maybe we've sung about it since we were little kids. Daniel gets arrested. He gets thrown into the lion's den. But what did he find out? In a place where the circumstances might seem as though God isn't there. I mean, he's taken from his home. He's taken from his people. He's told you cannot do the things that you know draw you closer into a relationship with God. And when he does those things, when he knows God is wherever he needs him to be, and he practices his relationship with God, and he gets abused for it, he gets incarcerated for it, and he gets persecuted for it, what does he find? He finds in that pit of lions that there is God shutting the mouth of those who would devour him. See, our God is portable. He goes where he says he will be. And he absolutely goes where we all the time think that he won't be. Our God is with us, even if we think he isn't. He never leaves us, nor will he forsake us. We might face the lions. You know, the very interesting thing that I love about the story of Daniel is, see, and it correlates to our life. If you work in a place, or if you teach in a place, or if you go to school in a place where you're told you can't do the things and act the way and be the Christian that God's called you to be, you know what Daniel's doing? He isn't asking anybody else to do what he's doing. Daniel is just being Daniel. He's just living the life. He's just living the dream out loud. Doing what he knows is drawing him closer to God. When the lions come, know that God is there to close those mouths and to bring us through. The third place that we can enjoy the portability of God is where we think he wouldn't be. Not only is God where he says he would be, where we think he isn't, but he is where he wouldn't dare be. You see, a lot of our lives we find ourselves in a pit that maybe we ourselves have dug. See, we find ourselves in a pit of sin, overrun by unholiness, overrun by ungodliness, struggling with something that's so contrary to the will of God that it scares us, that it defines us, that it separates us from God. And we feel as though God is nowhere near and he wouldn't be caught dead in a place where we are. You see, that's where we find God so often the most. In a place where we think, oh God, he would not be caught dead here. But the fact is that to enjoy the portability of God, our God not only would be caught dead there, but he died right there amongst us. Right there among all of the sin and all of the separation, among all of the unholiness and all of the godlessness. Not only was he caught dead there, but he willingly went there. If you want an example of this in Scripture, just look at the life of Samson. Just look at the life of a man who was called and strengthened by God to be a hero of the faith. He battled with a problem. In Judges chapter 16, we read the story of the end of the life of a heroic man who was given all of the strength and all of the ability and all of the opportunity. But you see, he toyed with the Philistines his whole life. Now, one thing I want you to know is that when you read about the Philistines, substitute the word sin for the word Philistines. Everything in the Old Testament that's a physical representation gives us a spiritual reality. So the Philistines represent the uncircumcised outside of the promise of God. They represent sin and godlessness to us. Samson toyed with it his whole life. And at the very end of his life, we find him in a pit that he dug, and Samson had left God. Oh, he had finally told him the secret of his strength, which was his hair, and they cut it off, and they bound him, and they gouged out his eyes, and they made a mockery out of him. The secret of his strength wasn't his hair. The secret of his strength was his God. He finally left God. Then you read in Judges chapter 16, I'm in Chronicles, man. I marked the wrong thing. That's not right. Judges 16, there it is. Verse 23. Now the rulers of Sin assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, which was an idol, their god, to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." When they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. You see, sin gets to a point in our life when it can be in complete control. He can just lead us around. Bring him on out. Bring him out so that he can perform. And this godlessness, just let him by the hand. Oh, he was powerless against him. You ever feel powerless against your sin? Do you ever feel powerless against the anger that separates you from other of God's people, the bitterness or the lust or the greed or the envy, any of the things that so easily entangles us? Do you ever feel powerless that you just can't help yourself, and every time the opportunity comes up, it just leads you by the hand out into perform for all of the world? See, Samson is powerless against sin. He had toyed with it long enough. Finally, it had a hold of him. And where we would think God would not be caught dead, what does he do? He prays, "God, one more time, give me strength to overcome your enemies." Who's God's enemy right now? Sin. It was, it is, it always will be. The enemy of our God is the enemy of our soul, and it is sin. And Samson prayed, and you can read the story. And one last time, he braced his back against the pillars, and he pushed down the temple of sin, and it fell on him, and Samson killed more in his death than he ever did in his life. Oh, we could find God where we think he wouldn't be. See, God is still there. Even in a pit we dug, he can still defeat our sin. He can still overcome what we think is monumental. See, our God is portable. He goes places where we need him to be. You see, we're all on a quest for connection. We're all on this adventure that is this life, to get connected with the God of the universe. And God is available to anyone who is interested in more of him. Anyone interested in drawing near to him and having him draw near to you, he is available to all. God is portable. He is found in the most unlikely of places. He is found wherever we will turn to him and call upon his name and give him all of the credit, all of the glory, all of the ability, all of ourselves, and allow him to do what it is that he does. And our God delivers better than anything you've ever heard of. He is where we expect him to be. He's where most won't look for him. he is, or he wouldn't be called dead. See, our God is the truly go anywhere God. But it is up to us to want more. It is up to us to allow him to be what it is that he so desires to be. And he has shown us over and over and over. And in history, throughout his life, he has shown us, I want to be your God. I want to deliver you. I am the only one able and the only one capable. And I want to do it. And he showed us so much that he came and he dwelt amongst us. He was available to us in human form. He died for us on the cross to once and for all defeat the sin that so easily entangles us. And if we just want more of him, he will deliver. Anywhere you are right now in your life, God can be there. God is there. And he can deliver you. He can bring you out of whatever it is that your life has become. And he can put your feet in high places. The choice is yours. Together we stand and as we sing.